Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, as we celebrate today, we remember all the work that he accomplished on our behalf. And we celebrate his victory over sin, death, and the grave as we gather to worship together today. We pray, Lord, that as we sing, as we pray, as we study your word, that it would bring glory to your name and joy to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I always like the way that Pastor Todd starts a sunrise service, because he starts it good and low. So our first song is right inside, Low in the Grave He Lay.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
We're singing the second one also. That was just a little brief interlude there. Christ the Lord is risen today. I gotta tell you, this first song, my son's favorite, but he never could remember the name of it. It was Saints to Reign. Let's sing Saints to Reign, Mom. So, Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. I can breathe. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Dying once he all could see, Alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise, Alleluia. Sing we to our God above, Alleluia. Praise eternal.
One of the things I enjoy about Resurrection Day service, everybody's dressed warm, everybody's comfortable, kind of comfortable, staying warm together. It's a family time. It's an informal family time, and I enjoy that. I have a lot of memories of sunrise services in my family history, so it always reminds me of the ladies as they went to discover the tomb, what it would be like to get up that early in the morning to be there, and all the sound, well, not the vehicle sounds, but all a lot of other sounds of just being around and the early morning discovery of the glorious news of the empty tomb. What an opportunity. There's a philosophy, positive thinking. It says, believe in yourself. You can achieve anything that you set your mind to. There are no limits out there. The only limits are those that you impose upon yourself. Dream, believe, and take action. Identify what you truly want and how you truly want to live your life. And take action. Start to create the life of your dreams. Start small, dream big. Don't ever give up. Now, there's a lot of validity to thinking positive, but that whole concept goes beyond reality. There are things that are not possible to do. There are things that are not possible for me to do that maybe you can do. There are things that perhaps I can do that you can't do. But not everything is possible. Not everything is possible in my own strength. Not everything is possible to me, no matter how positive I may be, no matter how hard I may try. When you get to the Olympic Games, there's one gold medal. And they always think, well, they worked the hardest, they tried the hardest, they prepared the most. I don't believe that. I think there's a lot of people out there that give their all in the Olympics, and they don't come home with a gold medal.
That's right.
So while there is, it's good to think positive, it's also good to think realistically. Because this positive thinking has even crept into the church a little bit. You know, we love to quote Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is a true verse in context. Okay? We use it, I've heard it so often taken out of context. Because I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Well, no. I still can't do everything. The context, let me give you the context of that verse because I think it's important. That's the verse before it, Philippians 4:12-13. I know, Paul is saying, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He says, I can live contentedly in all circumstances, prosperity or poverty. That's what he's saying he can do because of his relationship with Christ. Again, there are just some things that are not possible. You know, there are some things that even God cannot do. I know. Got a couple of people attention there. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. God cannot deny who he is. There are some things that God cannot do. In the garden, before the crucifixion, as Christ was praying, I think that's where the spiritual battle of the cross was won. He had to go through the cross, absolutely. I'm not denying that. But there was a battle going on there. There was a temptation going on there. And Jesus prayed, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he says, Jesus went a little beyond them, fell on his face and praying, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. If it is possible. Do you know what that tells me? It is not possible for there to be another means of our salvation except through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Amen. It is not possible. I just can't imagine the Father, who is love, allowing his Son to go to the cross if there was another way. If there was any other means of our salvation, he would not have allowed Jesus to go to the cross. Our passage this morning, Jesus was credentialed by God. I'm from Arizona. I just had to recently, a year ago, get a new driver's license. And because of that, I had to get the new updated driver's license. Because in Arizona, we didn't have a driver's license that met federal regulations to where I could use it as credentialed identification to get on an airplane. Yeah, who knew? I'd have to carry my passport with me if I didn't get this new form of identification so that I could be properly credentialed to board an airplane. Well, our passage this morning says, Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man. That's an important phrase right there. I don't presume to understand how this all works. Jesus was fully God, and Jesus was fully man. I know the theology of why that is important, and I'll touch on that this morning. But I don't understand how it works, but that's okay, because there's a lot of things I don't understand how they work. But I believe God. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, that's us, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus the Christ, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And might free those, that's me, might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. There's a lot of people that can't likewise comprehend the God-man. And I can understand that. It's a tough concept to grasp. But if he wasn't one of us, he could not die for us. If he was not God, his death was not sufficient. And those two concepts come together for us, for our salvation. He was human. He was a man. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Come on, Mariah, there's a seat right up here by your mom for you. No, I'm not going to embarrass you. God the Father made him, God the Son. The passage says, he made him. So I throw in the titles there so that we can identify it in context. There's a concept even today, though, among many church believers, that Jesus sinned in his life. I know, it's incredible to me. Because the connection is, if Jesus sinned in his life, then he died to pay the penalty for his own sins. And he could not pay the penalty for ours. And the Bible clearly, clearly, clearly declares that Christ was without sin. And because Christ was without sin, he was able to take our sins into himself. And this passage here, he who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. To be sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. All because of his death, burial, and resurrection. We can know this to be true.
Amen.
So this man from this Jesus of Nazareth, a man, he was attested to you by God. He was credentialed. How was he credentialed? He was credentialed with miracles, that is, acts of supernatural power, and wonders, activities that caused people to go, wow. Signs are those things that give you direction. And the signs that are talked about here are signs that are pointing to God. Just like we're out here watching the sunrise. You can see it now. The sun is there. He's coming up. Just like Christ, the Son of God, rose that first resurrection.
Amen.
The first fruits of the resurrection. So he was attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know. Jesus in John 14 was speaking to his disciples, getting them ready for the fact that he was going to leave them, that he was going to die. And John 14, verse 10, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." And if you were to check back with Matthew 11:5, it says, what are those works? Well, the blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And that's the work not only of Jesus Christ on this earth, that's the work of the body of Christ even to today. And there are some things that maybe we cannot do, but there are some things that we cannot do, that we can do. We can minister to the blind, we can minister to the lame, we can minister to the lepers, we can minister to the deaf, we can minister to those who are suffering the pains of death, and we can preach the gospel everywhere we go. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. The death of Christ on the cross did not catch God by surprise. It didn't catch him off guard. It wasn't out of his control. It was a part of God's plan. But also he says, though he was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. There's an age-old discussion going on of who put Jesus to death. Well, one, Jesus went to the cross voluntarily. He had the ability to lay down his life, and he had the ability to take up his life. Scripture says that clearly. Some want to blame the Jews. Some want to blame the Romans. You want to find somebody to blame that put Jesus on the cross? Look in the mirror. He's there for our sins. And he was a willing sacrifice for us. Incredible love. Incredible love. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance. That's your cornerstone. That's your foundation that's going on there. If you don't get this down, nothing else works. It's of first importance. There's all kinds of things that we can discuss about the Christian faith. This one is beyond debate. It is the most important. I delivered to you as the first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If we don't have that in our Christian faith, in our preaching, in our gospel sharing, in our witness, we have nothing. That is of first importance. It is essential. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. The wages of sin is death. And we see that clearly identified with Christ upon the cross. Because everything that he suffered, he did not need to suffer, except for taking our sins upon himself. Romans 6:10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. The death that he died to sin. Not his sin, our sin. And he died to sin once. There is no other sacrifice that needs to be made. We cannot add anything more to it. We cannot achieve it. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. Christ did it for us once. There is but one way. Would I dare ask God to send his son to do it twice just because I'm not satisfied with once? Once for all. All people of all time, covering all sin. The work of Christ upon the cross is complete. It's done. It is offered to us as a gift, and with a gift there's only two things you can do. You can either accept it or you can reject it. That's all you can do. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, it's impossible. That's one of those not possible phrases there. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us for our salvation. There's those phrases within Scripture that just jump out at you. One of those phrases is two simple three-letter words, and every time you see it, it's almost startling because it's such a contrast. It says, but God. You know, here we are, we're trying to do our best, we're doing our own thing, but God. It may be impossible, but God. But God raised him up again. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. As a pastor, I've officiated for quite a number of funerals. And when somebody's dead, they're dead. That's as helpless as you can be. There's nothing they can do. When we are dead in our sins and trespasses, there's nothing we can do to get ourselves out of that. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. We're not made alive apart from Christ, we're made alive with Christ. You he made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Pardon me. If you're a football fan, you know that there's a penalty in football for excessive celebration. And I wanted to look it up, and there's two definitions that apply. If after you make a touchdown, if you taunt the opposing team or the fans of the opposing team, that's excessive celebration. Or anything that takes too much time, that's excessive celebration. If the resurrection of Christ were part of a football game, he would have gotten flagged for excessive celebration. Because look at this. It says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them. He taunted them. Death cannot hold me. You can't touch me. You can't touch my team now either. And not only that, that taunting continues on through this day. The celebration, that's why we're here this morning. The celebration continues to this day, 2,000 years later. The celebration keeps on. Death cannot harm us.
Amen.
Because of the victory of Jesus Christ. The passage continues, he says, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him, Jesus, it was impossible for him to be held in its power. That's another impossible there. It's impossible for Jesus to stay dead. It's impossible for Jesus to stay in the grave. The open tomb proved that Jesus' payment for our sins was accepted by God. There's been times I've been to a store and they've got those harmless little chrome bars on the exit door as you go out. And there are items in the store that are tagged with a gizmo. I know that's a technical term. That if you try to walk out before that is removed from the item, and you go through those bars, it'll set off an alarm. And if it sets off the alarm, you better go back in or you better be able to show a receipt. There was one time we were looking at something and I reached around the display to bring one out and it got too close to those bars and it set the alarm off. What I'm saying is the resurrection of Christ is our receipt. Paid in full. Yeah, I don't care about the alarms. As long as I got the receipt, I'm okay. The resurrection of Christ is our receipt. It's okay. It's all paid for. There are times that Satan likes to sneak up and whisper in your ear and put thoughts in your mind saying, you're not good enough. You're not. Look what you just did. And you call yourself a Christian. I've got a receipt. It's paid in full. That receipt doesn't allow me to continue to live in sin. It allows me to continue to live towards righteousness. And yes, sin creeps in there. But I've got a receipt. It's paid in full. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because that is our victory. The story is told of a boy and his father that were driving in their car and out in the country. And as they're driving along, as happens sometimes, a bee got in the car. The boy is deathly allergic to bee stings. So he immediately is terrified that there's this bee in the car. And the father reaches out and grabs the bee. And then lets go. And the bee flies away and the boy again is terrified. Father holds out his hand. He says, you don't need to worry. And in his hand is a stinger from that bee. The father took the stinger out. The bee was helpless. The boy was safe. And so are we, because Christ took the sting of death in himself so that death cannot harm us. Luke chapter 18, verses 26 and 27. The disciples who heard it said, then who can be saved? What a great question. Who can be saved? And Jesus said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. There's a lot of things that are impossible, but what I want to tell you this morning, that it was not possible for Christ to be held by death. It is not possible for us to save ourselves, because it's impossible, but it's possible with God. That's a but God. It's impossible for me. I can think as positive as I want, and I cannot save myself, but God has made a way of salvation. John 11, at the death of Lazarus, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe this? Because if you do, you have a receipt paid in full from Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection is the receipt paid in full. Do you believe this? Because if you do, your eternal life has already begun. You are a child of God. Christ has taken the sting out of death. Your eternal life has begun. Christ's victory over sin, Satan, and death is yours, because he is risen. Now that's your cue. When I say he is risen, you respond, he is risen indeed. One more time, just because it's a victorious morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Praise the Lord. Melody, come lead us in our closing song.
It's on the back of your little pamphlet here.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of burning heart, worthy is the Lamb. You need to teach it to me. And I will hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. Amen.
thank you for the victory, the joy, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we can't help but worship you this day because of all that you have done and your love for us, that you have paid the price of our sins for us through Jesus Christ upon the cross. Paid in full. There's nothing that we can add to it. But Father, you have made it available to us through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you that not only did he die for our sins, but that it was so complete that death could not hold him. It was impossible. And we thank you for the many but gods in our lives, that we see the work of God happening in a way that is impossible for us, but is very possible for you. Lord, through the joy and opportunity of worship together today, may we glorify your name. May we share the gospel with others that need this good news in their lives as well. Father, throughout this day, may it be a day of praise and glory worthy unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.